Testing one, testing two. This is your main man, Fode. Buckle my shoe. Go ahead, give us a test.
This is where the fun begins.
Oh, that was beautiful. Yo, here we are, Saber Martial Arts Podcast. Again, it's been a while, and we're starting fresh, like real fresh. Fresh memory card, fresh batteries, fresh microphone, sound, and fresh... fresh inspiration, we'll say, fresh attitudes, fresh time to get up and go get it. Lots of weird stuff been happening in everybody's lives over the last year. We're not gonna really get into it too much, but we're gonna recap a little bit, just about like how we've been doing and stuff. I'm joined by, of course, Sifu Allen Venable, the one, the only, the magician, as it were. So excited to be back on another podcast with him. And though my voice sounds a little down right now, that's only because my kids are sleeping like 20 feet away. So I'm just going to, you know, stay at this level. But I'm thinking I'm going to be hype in short order here, because it's been just such a long time since we caught up, and I feel like there's a lot to talk about, even though I don't really know what it's going to be yet, and that's kind of going to be the fun of tonight's episode. Not sure how long we're going to go, not really sure what we're going to talk about too much, but it's going to be related to lightsabers and to a large degree in martial arts. That much has not changed. We're not going to change that part of anything we do. It's always going to be focused on lightsabers and martial arts. So that being said, what's up, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, my man. I'm doing all right. You know, we're gearing up to do a couple of new exciting events. Last year we closed the year out with a holiday special. Those of you that have seen the YouTube videos, we actually did a holiday special. I guess the best way to say it, it's basically a wushu tournament that was done for the holidays, and then we crashed it with lightsabers because that's what we do. And it was a great time. Fun was had by all, as far as I know.
So if you guys have not checked that out, what I'm going to try to do is provide a link, of course, in the show description for this episode to that video on YouTube. It's just one video, right, Alan? Or is it a whole playlist?
Oh, no, it's just one long video. Yeah. I made it one long video so that you could devour it in one sitting.
And it's a fun watch. So do head over to the link that I will provide in the description. And actually, what we'll have to do is... I have lots of ideas as far as like doing a little bit more of the Sparkives type commentary type stuff. Not just with our own stuff, though. I know we've talked about this in the past, but I'd really like to start incorporating just watching martial arts, especially like YouTube is such a powerful tool for people like us to learn from, and also to learn not from, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Absolutely.
So I'd really like to incorporate a lot of that, and so anyway, check that video out on our channel, but also, you know, keep your eyes peeled for more of that type stuff. And Alan, you've had quite a busy. I've kind of been away from the general mainstream lightsaber stuff for a while because, well, just lots of becauses, but I've been recently getting a lot back into just my personal practice of all the saber stuff, getting kind of brushing up on my own personal forms and things, and also dabbling in just some little new stuff, because one thing I've noticed lately in my own martial arts training is, oh man, it's so easy to get bored lately. I just like, I feel like I go in and like I'm punching the time clock a lot instead of like going in and really enjoying and trying to feel like I'm getting better. So
well, burnout's a real thing.
It is, and the reason I bring that up is because you've been having quite a busy lightsaber year, and I'm curious, are you experiencing any of that burnout? If not, like, what's keeping you going, and what do we have to look forward to? I know, of course, but explain it to the people.
Sure. Well, for me, especially, it's always about how can we do better the next time? So I'm always looking after, especially after we do a big event, like, what is the next time? What is the next thing that we are doing? Because then we can do it better than we just did. And if it was just a great show, right? If we just did an awesome job at an event, great. I'd like to recreate that. Mainly because we don't want it to be an accident, right? There are
That's a good point.
Perfect. Yeah, there are such things as perfect storms, but at the same time, can we, you know, harness that? Can we actually make it happen on purpose instead of by accident? So that's really what drives me is the next thing, the next one we do is usually done. And it also other people's events tend to give me a little bit of impetus as well. So not just SMA events, but also, you know, some of our brothers and sisters
sure.
in other Sabre groups and Sabre organizations
sure.
are doing sure. some things. Not a lot that we haven't seen before, but still enough that it does give us an idea of, hey, things are still moving. Things are still going.
Yeah.
Things are still growing.
Yeah.
And if we're not growing, we're dying. So that's really what drives me.
Yeah. And to be fair, definitely your drive, especially just in the last few weeks here, has been rubbing off on me, because that's the reason we're even sitting here right now. As you know,
yay.
Life can take the fire that's been lit under your ass and can start yep. tamping it real hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
but that's why we're here. That's why we're in an organization.
Exactly. And you know, just some of the mud has been cleared in a way that it's nice to be able to kind of go, oh, I can feel that inspiration again. I can feel that drive again. I can feel that, like, your excitement about the stuff you're doing. I'm probably not even going to be able to physically attend most of it just because it's all out there with you where you are. But
sure.
The point is still, like, I'm so excited for you to bring those experiences back to us, to talk about them and in a way that I haven't been in, like, 9 months or more.
Right.
And so it just, even you talking about it right now, like I said, I've already heard you say all this stuff, like, over the last few weeks in our meetings and whatnot, but just hearing you say it again, it has got me, like, a little, and I put two lightsaber hilts on the table here in front of me just for, again, a little bit of spark tonight. And, it feels so good right now to be in the vibe. I'm also drinking one of Steve's favorite scotches right now.
Nice.
You know, rest in power. And I'm just kind of pulling out the stops right now because, like you said, I'm feeling that. And when you feel it, you want to keep it going. You said that phrase absolutely. A couple times, keep it going. You want to keep it going and going in a positive direction. That was some of the problem, I think. And we all go through this. Like you said, sometimes you keep going, but you're going flat. You're not going up. I've been noticing that not just in real life, but, like I said, in my martial arts training too. And just recently I taught class tonight, not to steal your thunder and make it all about me, but hey, this is kind of the episode that we're in for tonight, is just a little stream of consciousness chat. I was teaching a striking class tonight. It's one of my favorite classes to teach. But it was just one other guy tonight, a good friend of mine. And we're going over some slightly more advanced striking combinations and things. And I was telling him, like, you know, sometimes you get in there for sparring. And for anybody that hasn't tuned in before, most of the martial arts I do right this second are MMA. I'm also Alan, by the way, just yesterday I earned my orange sash in Kung Fu. So
congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
I appreciate that. I've got three more before I start thinking about black belt, which is going to be so awesome.
Right on.
So yes, I've been doing a little kung fu, but most of what I do is MMA, and I'm so sorry. This can sound maybe a little insulting, maybe not, to people who do MMA, and I don't mean it to, but let me just put it this way. I feel like a lot of people who train in MMA or maybe just fighting in general, kickboxing or boxing, a lot of what they do is they go in and they spar, and they call that training. We've talked about this ad nauseum before with lightsabers. Like, people will go spar for 2 hours and call it training. It's not that it's not training,
right,
but it's not like training for training purposes. It's not training for training's sake.
Right.
Training is kind of a byproduct of sparring, or maybe sparring is the byproduct of training. I don't know, depending on how you look at it. So anyway, I go in and you know, Wednesday's sparring day. So I go in on a Wednesday and I'll just be kind of falling into the same thing everybody else is doing, which is going in there and just throwing hands for a couple hours and expecting it to make me feel good and feel better and do better and improve. It's not. It's not going to do that. I have to have a mission. I have to go in there. I have to find ways to improve. I have to say, okay, I'm going to do, like, I'm not a wrestler. I tried 3 takedowns in 1 round the other night. Why? Just because I needed to do something else. I need to do something to make me feel excited, scared, whatever the case is. So anyway,
you feel challenged.
Yeah. And I was talking to my friend who I was teaching tonight about this exact topic, like, because he'll say the same thing. I mean, he's 35. He's just in there to get a good workout, to learn something. And he's a big fan of MMA. So, you know, for him, it's kind of like, he's doing the thing he's been watching for so long, and that is enriching his life, right? So I'm trying to feed off that too. I'm trying to just find all these little ways to feel like a white belt again. Going for that orange belt test, having to learn forms that I'd never learned before, to finding those ways again. And, you know, so
what
anyway.
A great way to put it.
What's that? Trying that's to find great, a, feel like a white belt again?
Yeah. That's exactly what the feeling should be every time you walk onto the mat or into the studio or the ring, wherever it is. You should have the same excitement you had when you started.
Yeah, and Sifu, I tell you, I've been falling into the trap that I have warned people about, which is like, oh, a black belt's a white belt that never quit. But like, do you really feel like that? Or are you kind of like, going in there with your cup already full?
Me?
No, I mean just in general, like, that's the feeling or the questions I've been asking myself. Like, am I?
Oh, sure.
Is there room in my cup still? Or am I going in there with a full cup already? Like,
right.
A full cup, I can't fit anything else. You know, I just can't. And I can drink from it all I want, but eventually I'm going to get to an empty cup. So, you know, I've been trying to go in with that half full vibe of getting back to all those techniques and the fun I used to have, but also trying to make it do something new for me. So I don't know. Your talk about drive has kind of brought that out in me. So now, let's go back to you. What are some of the things coming up? Tell us about some of the things coming up.
So as of this recording, in about a month, we have
and this is late February for anybody who's concerned. Mid to late February right now. Hopefully this recording will be out this week. But continue. Go ahead.
Right. So March 16th, let's make it
there we go.
Very easy.
Full date, love that.
On March 16th at 2 p.m., I will be in a national event for the Wushu Nationals here in Phoenix, and we will be having a single saber tournament and also a choreography competition as well. So you can actually do kata, you can do all sorts of fun stuff. There is a single kata category and a group kata category. So
a fight scene per se would fall under something like a group kata.
That would be a group kata. That's
Love
correct.
that. Love that.
So,
If you've never been
yeah.
to any type of traditional martial arts tournament, again, I've said this 100 times on this show before, but there may be hopefully some new people tuning in for the first time. Stan Lee said every issue is somebody's first issue. So if you've never been to a traditional martial arts tournament, oh my gosh, please go to one. Please go to one. And if you're in the Phoenix area, dude, this is a great one to go to. What a
It is
super
at the
good
Phoenix
tournament to go
Convention,
to.
but yeah, it is at the Phoenix Convention Center, so there's not like there's more than one, so it's easy to find. There is
So,
the Wushu Nationals, so it's actually a lot of the Wushu athletes from all around the country are coming.
and this is a 2-day tournament.
This is a 2-day tournament. Our presentation is at 2 p.m. on Saturday the 16th.
Okay, that was my follow-up. So then, this may be a dumb question, but like sometimes it may be called a karate tournament, but they have like a kung fu division. They'll have a Brazilian jiu-jitsu division. Like, is this that kind of tournament as well, where it's called the Wushu Nationals, but you don't have to be a kung fu practitioner?
Kind of. So it's a martial arts tournament, right?
Okay,
Wushu
right.
just means
Martial
martial
arts,
art.
right.
So if you are a practitioner, there are a ton of divisions. If you go to their website, which I believe is Wuling Saga,
Or you
you
could
could
just use
check.
Mr. Google and type Wushu Nationals Phoenix, and I'm sure you'll get it. Wushu is Wushu for anybody who's not sure. Go ahead, continue.
You can see all of the divisions,
So I'm going to go
all
right
of the
now on my phone
age
here
groups.
and
Yeah, all of the age groups, all of the things. I mean, you got kids that are, 5 years old that are competing
right.
for them. And most of the divisions are going to be, open hand and, form or kata driven. And this particular year, they've opened it up a little bit so that a bunch of us actually are trying to do more with the martial arts than the kata,
Yeah.
right? So we have a couple of different divisions of competition of actual, combat.
Right.
So there's guys out there that are going to be doing sanda, the wrestling stuff. Basically full contact fighting where suplexes are allowed.
Was gonna say it's kind of
You
like
got
kickboxing with a Chinese take on judo. Is that a good way to put
yes
it?
correct
Yeah.
and then you have the others. So you have people going in there that are also just looking to do tai chi.
Yeah.
They're going to be doing that, but there's also a push hands tournament. So the application of that Tai Chi.
Yeah.
So there's a lot.
Wait,
There's a
seriously?
lot.
Like a Chi Sao tournament?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I'm telling you,
So.
people, like a traditional martial arts tournament, it's just a different vibe. Like you could go to MMA fight, and again, I encourage you to do this kind of thing. Go to a kickboxing event, go to a boxing event. But man, there's just something about a traditional martial arts tournament. It's just special. There's just so much, like people want to display skill in such a way that is just different. It's just different than going out there and fighting. Nothing wrong with going out
Absolutely.
there and fighting. Absolutely, you deserve all the respect in the world for that. But there's just something different. It's a different vibe. It's again that word tradition. I hate to use it in the definition, but that's what it is. You can feel that tradition. You can feel like a nice seasoned cast iron skillet. You can feel the previous meals in the air. I think anybody who's in the area, well, it's probably not super expensive just to go spectate either, right? It's probably just like $20 or $25 to spectate or less, I would guess.
Yeah, it's all on their website.
So go check that out, Wushu Nationals in Phoenix. If you are any type of martial arts practitioner, I would say any traditional martial artist, check out, see if you would fit into one of those categories, maybe compete in your first tournament. And if you're a saber person, especially somebody we know, And you've never competed in a traditional martial arts tournament. Maybe you can find a way to sneak what you do in.
Absolutely, that's what I did.
Definitely join the solo and the group saber divisions, but also, anyway, you guys know who you are and you know what access you have to some martial arts teaching. So use people like Courtney or Nick Rich or anybody. You guys know who we're talking about. And if you don't know who we're talking about, good. Go find a martial arts gym. Go find a dojo. Go get involved. Get involved. We would say that every
Absolutely.
episode. Got to sneak it in. So Wushu Nationals, that's coming up in about a month, a little less than a month in the Phoenix area. That's exciting
Correct.
for me. I can't wait to see what kind of footage you bring back from that. That's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
So what about you, just as far as your own practice and training? What have you been digging your fingers into?
At the moment, I'm currently teaching our school's version of Suresu, which is take on Chinese broadsword and also dragon fast sword. So a couple of different Chinese styles that are deflection based so that it fits in the reload the cannon of Star Wars. But at the same time, we also have a couple of interesting things in my personal practice that most people probably don't know what the heck it is, but meteor hammer and rope dart have been my main focus. So
Like right
these
now.
are
Okay.
flexible weapons, yes.
Let's talk about rope dart first. I have brought up your amazing rope dart prowess before. You know that I'm absolutely mesmerized. The last one of the last times I saw you in person, not the very last time, but one of the last times I saw you in person, you had a rope dart with you, and I was just my jaw was just on the floor. I would like to make some adult jokes right now about the way I was feeling about the whole situation, but I'll keep it PG-13.
Yes.
And so let's talk a little bit about rope dart because that would fall under the category of what you would call flexible weapons, right? And that really doesn't
Correct.
like doesn't really apply to lightsabers. But one thing you said to me that does make it apply 100% to lightsabers. And you were just basically trying to teach me how not to break my jaw with this thing, but you said, you swing it like a sword, and you said it so matter-of-factly, like you came out of the womb knowing this information, and your point was just you did come out of the womb knowing, like you already know how to swing a sword, so you know how to use a rope dart, but it is more dangerous. You have to make sure you don't smile and blah blah blah. So go ahead, talk a little bit about the rope dart. What a crazy weapon.
So rope dart is basically a throwing dagger at the end of a rope, usually about 10, 12 feet long. Sometimes if you're really, really good at it, it'll be like 20 feet long.
Well, and
But only my
the thing I love
grandmasters do
is
that.
it feels like most people who use a rope dart are making their own. I'm a big fan of DIY weaponry, like a big fan.
Yeah,
And it doesn't have
if
to
you have a
be.
dagger or a knife, you can make a rope dart.
And does it always have to be a dagger, or can it also be like a kunai, which would be more like sort of like a weighted spike?
That would work too. I mean, as long as you have the rope securely tied on there, anything will really work. If you were enterprising enough to put a hammer on the end of a rope, that would be a meteor hammer.
Okay, so that was
So,
my second question, which is that an offshoot of a rope dart, which you just explained, basically, yes.
So it's basically the same types of movement. A rope dart will stick in the target. So it is a piercing weapon, whereas a meteor hammer is just blunt force trauma over and over again.
Wait, seriously? I
So,
thought of a rope dart more of a slashing weapon. Now you say that, that's interesting to me.
no, it's a piercing weapon. It shouldn't slash because it's a dart.
Yeah, that like duh. Yeah, right? Like, but again, matter of factly, like, I never thought of that, but you make it sound like every human came out of the womb already knowing how to do this. And that is all martial arts. Technically, you're right. Technically, you come out of the womb already knowing martial arts and how to do all these mm-hmm. motions and things. But that's way cool. You just put that mm-hmm. whole thing into... And actually, now that mm-hmm. we look at Mortal Kombat in that light, Scorpion's mm-hmm. special move makes a whole lot more sense.
Yeah. Piercing. Yeah, there's a lot to get piercing over here weapon. when you say when you play with rope dart.
You know, now that you say mm-hmm. it, also I'm thinking back on some of the motions that I saw you do, and though there was mm-hmm. swinging involved, it seemed like that mm-hmm. was more like a lasso, where the swinging is like to gain momentum for the thrust.
Yes.
And
also, a lot of the shooting of the rope dart is meant to go straight ahead.
Straight ahead,
straight ahead, so it actually can stick in something. One of the things that we do is we practice throwing it into the ground and then pulling the rope dart out of the ground a lot, just so that we know what we can do. And then if we're enterprising enough, we'll actually have like a dartboard or a throwing knife target.
Yeah, yeah.
And we use that to pull. I wouldn't recommend doing that in the park where the cops can see you throwing knives at trees.
Well, I would say if you can't shoot archery at that place, you probably can't throw knives and blades at
right,
that place.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So it's like a backyard thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Definitely take a look at some of that. When you have a chance, it's a lot of fun to do a rope dart, and a lot of fun to do meteor hammer, and it just makes you feel like a martial artist when you do it right.
Yeah, well, makes you feel like an idiot. Absolutely beautiful and dangerous. Dangerous as hell looking. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Is the meteor hammer more of a sweeping or slashing type motion, or is it also a shooting straight sort of bludgeon?
Everything is blunt force trauma. Straight ahead, over the head, bouncing it off the ground into your groin, all sorts of stuff.
So versus a rope dart, there would be more sweeping or slashing type motions with a meteor hammer.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. So if you just, for those of you that want to see it in action in popular media, there is a little movie called Chang-Chi where his sister actually uses a rope dart. Unfortunately, it's mostly CG. It's mostly the computer generated graphics. However, the principles are there. But if you really want to see a cool rope dart or meteor hammer idea, watch, I believe it's either Kiss of the Dragon or Romeo Must Die. Jet Li does an amazing
deep cuts, Alan. Deep cuts.
Yeah. He does an amazing improvised weapon with a fire hose, and he does all those same techniques.
Oh, I can't remember which one that is, but I know the scene that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's Romeo Must Die.
I was gonna say Romeo, but I didn't want to say that because that's just the most recent Jet Li movie I've seen. So
well, that will date how many Jet Li movies you've seen.
No, I mean that's just the one I've watched most recent. Obviously not that. That's an old ass movie now, but. God damn, that makes me feel old. But really quickly, this is an aside. I may or may not keep this in the audio, but Alan, I just got a warning for some reason, even though you're the host, that the meeting's going to end in 10 minutes. But if that happens, we'll just start the meeting fresh again and keep going.
Okay. No worries. No worries.
So rope dart, you've been doing some meteor hammer. This is personally training and, kids, this is not your white belt weaponry, right? Like you should probably
you have to be a black belt first. To be in this class.
Okay.
You have to be a black belt to be in this class. And just as an aside, we are talking about Jet Li. The guy that's teaching me rope dart is his older brother.
So, seriously?
He
lives in freaking Arizona.
Yeah. Grandmaster Jin Hong Lee is an amazing martial artist. He settled in Phoenix. He was on the White House lawn
Wait, I know
with
that name
Nixon.
too. Maybe you've said it on this show before and explained it to me before, but
I
that
have.
name sounds really familiar.
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
He's known as the Great Polisher. You do whatever form you have, and you show it to Grandmaster Jin Hong, and he'll give you all the corrections, and suddenly you have a gold medal.
Yeah,
It's
you turn your
a
lump of coal
weird,
into a diamond.
yeah, it's like this amazing thing that he does for people. He's like, no, this is how you do it. This is that is professional way. That's his
That
that's
is
my impression.
my kind of martial arts teacher, traditional martial arts
Yeah.
teacher, but also fighting arts teacher. Like technique, man, technique is everything because even when technique falls away and you get tired and you're back is to the wall and everything is falling apart. Just the fact that you had technique in the first place is such a boon to your success. So anyway,
Absolutely.
just a quick little insertion there. But okay, so
Yeah.
Jet Li's older brother is teaching you rope dart and meteor hammer. How freaking cool is that?
Yeah, he's done this forever. He's the only one that's ever won like the Beijing Wushu Nationals,
Oh,
or the
seriously?
Chinese Wushu Nationals, or whatever, the World
Yeah,
Nationals
yeah,
for
yeah.
Wushu or whatever. He's the only one to ever win it 5 times, and he did them all in a row.
Huh.
Yeah, nobody else has done that. So I
Wow.
figured he's pretty good at what he does, because he won it with rope dart. So I think he said one year he got bored and he did it with a sword. So yeah, but his
People
whole
are
thing,
listening and going, bored? Bored? You
yeah
were you Oh my gosh.
yeah so I mean, if you think about it though, like five years, right, is, let's see, 10 years is 3,650 days, so
Talking like
325,
1825 days, is that correct?
yeah, something like that, yeah, 15, 85, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, that's how many days he'd been doing the same form over and over again for like, 8 hours a day. He got bored. So yeah, and so he's also known. If you look up his name and you find it on YouTube, you'll see his rope dart form, which is the rope dart form I'm trying to learn and trying to perfect and do without, strangling myself with the
So
20 foot rope.
as I listen back on this, I'm gonna give myself a little note here, to include a link to, hopefully I'll be able to find that on YouTube as well, but to include a link to that as well in the show description, for anybody who's interested. That's another thing I'd like to do as we go forward in some of these recordings is, things we reference. I'd like to provide visual, footnotes and things for people because like I said in the beginning, one of our main focuses is just martial arts in general, keeping the integrity of that within what we do. So, I'd love to be able to keep
Broken axles.
exposing people. Like some people listening might already know all this stuff and might have already seen all these things and they might be just as big nerds for this as we are, but some people might not, and they might discover that they really enjoy watching. So I love to keep including visual aids and things like that. So hopefully in the video or in the podcast description, you will see that link to that video master. What do you say? Say his name again so I get the cor pronunciation correct.
Jin Hong Lee,
Jin
J I
Hong.
N H, yeah, J I N H E N G
Okay.
L I.
Li, like Jet Li. Because they are from the same mother. So,
They're not from the same mother, but that's their wushu name, so.
oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Oh, older brother is in. Older brother is in Wushu older brother, senpai.
Oh, make much sense. Make much sense. Okay, cool. So we're gonna keep all that audio because that is a good A little bit of education for everybody. Totally makes sense. Okay, so now let me tell you what I'm learning. I just learned
Sure.
a traditional, okay, so the style of kung fu that I'm doing is called Iron Tiger Kung Fu. Now, you might
Nice.
know a different style of Iron Tiger than this. There's 2 billion styles of kung fu, maybe. So everybody's families got a different take on things.
Oh, yeah.
But generally, the way I understand it, the way it's been explained to me, and then the game of telephone, the way it's coming out of my mouth, is the gentleman who, quote unquote, started the style that I'm learning now, he actually learned what he called Iron Tiger Kung Fu in China, and then
Yes.
had to escape China and moved to Thailand. And when he was in Thailand, he was teaching kung fu sort of as his like Bruce Wayne job, but then he would moonlight, he would Batman at the Muay Thai gym, the traditional Muay Thai place. So then he would take what he was learning in Muay Thai and sort of incorporate it into this kung fu that he knew. And then I believe he moved again. I can't remember exactly where he moved to, but I believe it was one of the Southeast Asian countries. And he was already in Thailand, so it was kind of another country close to that, I believe. But he started learning karate. Hey. I don't know why I didn't just think of that in the first place. Like, why didn't we just call each other?
That's a great idea too.
Can you hear me pretty well? Like, do I
I
need
can.
okay.
I
Well, it
actually
must
hear you better.
that's freaking hilarious. Okay. I might just keep this audio too. Okay. So
Oh,
long
hold on
story
one sec.
short, yep, no
Hold on one
problem. No
second.
problem. I'm good. I'm good.
Put that down and go to bed.
Alan, how old's your kid now?
I know, buddy. I
Is
know,
he
buddy.
three?
But it's time to go to bed. He's turning 4 in April.
Oh my
Huh, buddy?
gosh. That's so crazy.
What? Okay, well, grab the blanket. Then go to bed. I love you.
Anybody who's listening, if you like scotch or bourbon or whiskey, and you haven't tried a clementine as your
That's good stuff.
chaser, let me tell you, I just had straight scotch, and I just took a big swig and a little clementine wedge at the end of that took all the edge off. It was like perfect. Anyway, so long story short, guy goes to Thailand, guy learns karate, guy learns Muay Thai, guy already knew kung fu, and he started coaching the US Sanda team, I believe. And that's where my current boss kind of learned from him. He was on the with Kung Lee, who everybody knows Kung
Oh,
Lee. If
nice.
you're a fan of MMA from years and years ago, Kung Lee was the Strikeforce middleweight champion. And then he fought
For
in the
10 years
UFC.
straight.
Yep, that's true. And he fought in the UFC as well.
I don't think has he actually ever been defeated? I don't think he ever got defeated.
He did, but not until he got to the UFC.
Oh, okay.
Fact checkers might get me on that, but I don't think he was defeated until he got to the UFC,
Okay, cool.
which was towards the end of his career anyway. I mean, he'd already had a super illustrious career all across martial arts, not just MMA. So anyway, I w currently work for a gentleman named Scott Sheely. So if anybody cares, that's who, that's where the lineage is. So the current form that I'm learning is, I just got tested on something called Panther. Now, I
Nice.
don't know what you know as Panther, but I was told by my current teacher, like, if I look up Panther on YouTube, I'm gonna get 100 different versions, and none of them's gonna be the one that I need. So, I'm used to that. I do American Kenpo. That's my background. So I'm used to looking on YouTube and finding 100 different versions of the same thing I'm supposed to be learning. But it was very cool because it was the first time that I felt like my previous karate Kenpo training had hit a blindside with my Kung Fu training. The Panther form that I'm learning is very karate style, very hard style, if you will. You know what I mean when I say that, Alan, but mm-hmm. like a deep cat stance and a hard knife hand block and a mm-hmm. nice big reverse punch and like things that like you don't or at least I didn't necessarily associate with Kung Fu. And then feeling that sort of like that hard style, something I was used to. Oh, it was the first time I took a test and felt like, man, I got this. Like, I know what this feels like. The previous forms.
That's pretty cool.
Were what we call blocking forms, which is basically their way of saying like the basics. So I have 6 of these blocking forms I'm supposed to know. And they have a little bit of Muay Thai influence, but very, very Kung Fu. But also super basic because they're meant to be taught to kids and adults alike. So like this is a block, this is a palm, this is a snap kick, blah, 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 blah. This Panther is the first time that it was like, none of that matters. This is martial arts. This is traditional Kung Fu. This is real Chinese art. And I was like, oh, man, this is so cool. So the next thing, the reason I was so interested in your rope dart stuff is I'm learning my very first traditional nunchuck form. And that's for my purple sash is going to be nunchuck form. And let me tell you, this traditional nunchuck, John, is a beast. It is a beast. I thought, like, I'm not great at nunchuck. It's probably my worst weapon ever. But I'm passable. I can spin a little. I can strike a little. I'm passable. Oh, this traditional nunchuck form makes me feel like a total noob.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, it's
interesting.
Again, feeling like a white belt for sure. When I pick those nunchucks up, like I know the parents and stuff. Like as the kids are walking out and he's teaching me this, like the parents are kind of like, "Watch." I feel so judged because I just feel like a total noob. Doing this traditional nunchuck form, but oh, how cool it feels, especially with the wooden octagonal nunchucks, you know, with that nice thick cordage or a nice thick mm-hmm. chain. Like,
right.
Okay, so Alan, give me some nunchuck tips, man, because I feel like if you know rope dart, like you got nunchucks on lockdown.
So I'm not sure what version that you're actually learning.
It's a single nunchuck form, and it feels very self-defense. Like if somebody was attacking me with a sword, this would be the type of defenses they would teach you, if that makes sense.
Right. Right. Well, what I mean is that if you actually have a traditional form that has nunchucks, most nunchuck forms start with the blocking and then go into the exchanges and stuff.
Correct.
That's what I've seen. Going to be doing is making sure that you don't, you know, brain yourself.
Oh my gosh. So accurate. Okay. Keep going.
when you're actually doing nunchucks, something, and I'm not sure, again, depending on the form that you're learning. When I was learning it, my teacher basically did a whole thing where he took colored tape.
Oh.
And he would put on the colored tape, basically, this is the part that you hold, you know, so this is green. If it's green, you're good.
Yeah.
And then this is the part that you never touch because it's gonna hurt you if you touch it, if you try to grab for it and swing for it. so that part was red. So I'm not sure if that'll help you.
Oh, now that you say this, my old coworker at the old dojo used to tape the ends and about 2 inches down from the chain on all of the kids' nunchucks. And one side was yellow and one side was red. And red was dead. Ah, now that you say, dude, that's like 5 years ago, the last time that I did a nunchuck class with him. And now that's just flooding back. Ooh, this is good tips. Okay, keep going, Alan. Keep going. Children listening. So keep listening.
When the when you're actually doing nunchucks, a lot of it is trying to get you, well, like, you have to understand what the nunchucks were used for before. They were used for threshing wheat. So everything is a strike at the longest reach, trying to make sure that you are using your positioning along with the weapon effectively.
Interesting. So
let me repeat that. It's your body positioning along with the weapon used effectively. So there are certain things you have to do in preparation for certain things. So when you have, let's say, the one of the most popular things about nunchucks is the switch, right? Switching from left to right.
Yes.
And if you're going to do a switch, you have to make sure your other hand is in the position to grab it before you actually swing.
Ooh, good point. Good point, Alan-san. Good point.
Because if you don't,
you're going to hit yourself in the frickin' jaw or something.
Yeah. So a lot of it is knowing what comes next.
Anticipation. Like, you know, my old saxophone teacher used to say this about jazz improv is anticipating the chord change, anticipating the next key change, anticipating the rhythm section, anticipating with the guitar, blah, 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 blah. Oh, keep talking, Alan-san. Keep talking.
Yeah. So that's basically what you need to train. Train without the nunchucks and then put the and add the nunchucks later.
That's a good figure. I actually did that by accident. I just didn't have nunchucks on me and I was like, ooh. Because you know what? When you have your right hand and your left hand in a position with the nunchucks, there's that 3 to 5 inches of chain keeping them in the right place. If you practice without the nunchucks, it forces you to make sure everything's in the right place. And what you said about some of these traditional forms, starting with the blocking and the defense and then going into the striking and then incorporating the two together, that's kind of like, if you practice without the nunchucks, you kind of understand, like, okay, when my hand is on my hip but the other hand's in front of my chest, that's blocking my chest from getting slashed from this side or blah, blah, blah. And you just sort of put some of these pieces together that, like, the chain just kind of does the work for you sometimes. The other thing, Alan, that you said about, like, the colors and not braining yourself is with the traditional stuff, a real strike with the nunchucks is like a really violent, aggressive thing. So when you strike somebody with that thing, and, like, let's say you went from a block, which is a very dead position. It's a very neutral dead position. You go to block and you stay there, right? You make a brick wall and you stay there. And then you have to go into a flexible strike from there. That strike is going to have a lot of ass behind it when it actually hits the target. And you got to be ready for that thing. Like you said, anticipating, but, like, even your own strikes, like, you knew you threw that strike, but you got to be ready for the end of that thing coming back at you.
Right. And I mean, I know you've probably done this, but most people think they know how to use nunchucks until they actually hit something with it.
Oh my gosh.
Because that, there has to be a follow through with your body so that it doesn't bounce off of your target and hit you.
That's exactly like the
So.
tomahawk too. You know I'm a big fan of the tomahawk. A lot of people don't know that, but that any heavy-headed weapon and a nunchuck, even though both of the shafts are the same as far as weight and momentum, you holding one and swinging another causes it to act more like a pendulum weapon or an axe head weapon, a heavy-headed weapon. So that body follow-through, when you hit something and it does, it will whiplash. Like, let's say that nunchuck hits the head, it will bounce backwards off of it. But if your body's continuing the motion through the target, the end of that weapon will bounce back, but also still continue through, as opposed to bouncing back and whacking you in the frickin' head. It's hard to do, but if you go up to a target and you have something like nunchucks or even just like a weighted sock or something, and you go up to a target and you do this, you do it without a body follow through, and you'll notice that it will bounce back towards you. And then you do it with a body follow through, and you'll notice that it will bounce but keep going through. It's very interesting physics. Very, very interesting
Yes.
physics.
Again, used to thrash wheat, so they didn't have a lot of metal
Good point.
back then, so they used a rope, and they used a stick, tied them together, and then just said, "Okay, well, this is gonna be have to be good enough to cut down the wheat
But at some
if
point they
possible."
realized, like when bullies came around, that that was good enough to brain a bully.
Right.
Let
I
me
call
ask you this,
improvised
Alan. Do you
weapons.
prefer a chain or a rope on your chucks?
On the nunchucks, I like rope,
Do you?
personally.
I agree with that. I prefer a rope, but chain has its place. If you're in a tournament, I would argue that chain is a better choice because of the shock value. It
Sure.
sounds and looks cooler.
Yeah.
But
God forbid you have long hair, though.
my God, it's a good point. It's also
Jeez.
harder to do finger spins and things with a chain because your finger can get caught. But yeah, I would argue that the chain has a little more shock value, but a cord is, in my opinion, much easier to control. So naturally, I've been using a chain because again, I was raised in a music family as well as a martial arts family. So for me, like, when you're practicing a piece of music and you have trouble with a couple bars, what do you practice? Do you practice the part you're good at, or do you practice the part you suck at? You practice the part you suck at. So I kind of suck at using nunchucks with a chain. So I've been using the ones with a chain. It's just what it is, what it is. I got to get better. Like I said, I suck at wrestling. Been trying to wrestle a little bit. It is what it
So
is.
on that note, though,
Yeah, go for it.
remember that it's okay to suck, but it's not
Yes.
okay to keep sucking. You might have to put something down and come back to it later.
I love that you just brought this up. I'm really happy you said this because I'm a firm believer in mistakes are cool, especially in martial arts. Mistakes are cool as long as you don't get knocked out. And if you do get knocked out, hopefully you learn from it. You don't get knocked out again the same way. But let's jive on this a little bit. It is totally okay to suck, and sometimes I really enjoy sucking. Like, you learn, sometimes you can learn a lot in a short amount of time. If somebody's really good at something, let's just use wrestling because that's what I'm talking about. There's a girl, she's in high school. So for anybody who doesn't know, I'm mid 30s. Alan's just, what, just barely over 40. And
That's correct.
this girl is just 19, and she will mop the floor with me. 138 pounds is the heaviest she's ever wrestled at. She will mop the freaking floor with me, and I'm almost 200 pounds. And, dude, I love wrestling with her because, like, I can learn so much in such a short amount of time.
Absolutely.
When you kind of like accept, I don't want to say accept that you suck at something, but like accepting mm-hmm. that like you have a lot to learn, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
You can. It's just amazing Absolutely. How much you can learn. And it's not like you're going to become this like all-American wrestler, to use the same example. But like when I've gotten done getting taken down by somebody 50 pounds lighter than me
mm-hmm.
and almost 20 years younger than me over and mm-hmm. over and over again mm-hmm. for 3 minutes, she put me on my back 20 times in 3 minutes. Like you start to go, okay, if she goes this way, I turn my arm this way. If she goes this way, my hip goes this way. If she goes this way, mm-hmm. my, and then your body starts to take over and you stop thinking about it. So just, you know, in 3 minutes, you learned 5 things. In 15 minutes, you learned 50 things.
Right.
Exactly. I'm just so eternally impressed by allowing yourself to suck once in a while. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I kind of said this earlier in the show, like feeling like my cup was already full going into things. Mm-hmm. Feeling like maybe you're just a black belt, not a black belt whose white is starting to show through the cotton.
Yeah.
You know? It's so nice and refreshing to feel like, oh man, somebody's better at me than, not like that's so arrogant to say, but you get what I'm saying. Like if you're a black belt, you're the teacher. You already know what's going on. It's so nice and refreshing to once in a while not know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, I like that. I really like that.
If you want to grow, right? And if you're not growing, you're dying, right? If you want to grow, and you're the smartest person in the room, you have to find another room. It's that easy.
Yeah.
I mean, technically not that easy, but you get what I mean.
Well, yeah, like I'm immediately more proud of my orange sash than I am of my third degree black belt.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Not to say that like kind of, I'm negating my previous experience. I'm just saying immediately and recently, mm-hmm. that's just, it's just, it's filling victory. My cup yeah. more, you know?
Yeah. That was your most recent victory.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it was
hard won, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot more difficult for you to get your orange sash than it was to teach the black belt class.
And to go back to the nunchuck topic, to go for this purple sash next is going to be that much more difficult because that's my next form.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Alan, let me ask you this. How the hell do these flexible weapons apply to lightsabers now? We mentioned a little bit that like they're swinging mm-hmm. a sword, but let's talk a little bit about it. Let's dive a little deeper.
Sure. Well, in my experience, and I'm going to give this again, I have done martial arts for more than 30 years now, and part of it is learning that a weapon is an extension of yourself.
Mm.
You know, it takes 3 times more focus to swing a sword than it does to punch in the air, mainly because you have to not just worry about yourself, but also worry about the weapon flying out of your hand mm-hmm. and also the people around you. As you do it. So it's a little bit easier to do open hand because you're actually okay. You can feel when you're doing it wrong in your body. Like if you bump into somebody, you generally can feel that. Whereas in weapons training, you have to be a lot more aware. I don't know how many times I almost, you know, if I didn't know how long my meteor hammer was, I would have hit Grandmaster Jin Hong with my meteor hammer, you know? And it's
Oh, that would not have been a laughing matter. I'm laughing, but that would not have been a laughing matter.
Right, but it's one of those things where he knew exactly how long my meteor hammer was, and he knew all that stuff. And he
Oh my God, hold on, enough to, pause, to, Alan, to be just range.
Yeah.
let's pin this for a different day. Range. Let's talk range one day. And that whole thing you Absolutely. Said about he knew how long your thing was. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, and so, I mean, as I'm learning, you know, how long my rope dart should be or my meter hammer should be, one of the techniques
that's is the to title wrap it around of this my episode. Neck sometimes. I'm sorry, that's the title. So, Alan, I don't mean to be so immature. You're making excellent points, and they are mature points, so I apologize.
Okay. So, like I said, I'm trying to learn the flexible weapons, because one of the things that you have to do with a flexible weapon is wrap it around your body and use it at a short, medium, and long range.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one of the techniques is to actually wrap the meteor hammer around your neck 3 times and then release it. So you have it at a very short range, and then you release it at a very long range. So it's an ordeal. And I don't know how many of my fellow students failed at that ordeal. They
choked themselves. You said to me when you were kind of showing me, and bless your heart, you actually put that rope dart in my hands and let me swing that thing around in your presence. Mm-hmm. Whew, you're brave. You're like a driver's ed teacher brave. Anyway, you said to me, never smile when you're using this weapon. Right. Never smile.
Right.
Because all your teeth will come out, basically.
Right.
So talking about wrapping that crap around your neck 3 times and it's just baffling. But it kind of brings to light one of the, like I said, the connections between these flexible weapons and a lightsaber, which is, for all intents and purposes, a sword, is they are dangerous to the user. And they are very dangerous to an assailant, but they are super dangerous as well to the user. Arguably more dangerous to your opponent, but the user has to be proficient. And when you are training with saber martial arts, if you're treating it like a lightsaber, then that thing is hella dangerous. Hella dangerous. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. I'm looking at my old school Ing Chao persuader here, and this thing is 13 inches, I think, or less, 11 inches. Mm-hmm. And my blade is 36 inches or 31 inches or 33 inches. So that's a 3-to-1 ratio of danger to safe, right? Like, that's the same as nunchucks. If I'm swinging a nunchuck around, I'm training myself to learn how to deal with a 3-to-1 ratio of danger to safe. And if you're practicing lightsaber and you hit yourself in the shoulder with that freaking blade because you didn't treat it like it was a real Star Wars weapon... Sorry, Mickey Mouse. Please don't sue us. You're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to know.
You understand what I'm saying. Go for it.
Let's call it range of effectiveness.
Yes, so, thank you.
So it's very important to have to know your range, to know your opponent's range, and to know, you know, your weapon's actual, you know, kickback. So a lot of different things that kind of translate over multiple disciplines. I guess.
If you use a lightsaber, you remember, what was it? Was it Force Awakens where, was it Finn that got cut by the cross guard or the vent of Kylo Ren's lightsaber in the shoulder? Is that what that was?
Right.
Right. In other words, if you're training with a weapon that can constantly hurt both you and your opponent, you're sort of like upgrading your training, because you're kind of like, you're able to do two things at once. You're able to worry about your own safety as well as your opponent's danger, or harm. Which, you know, harm is like in quotes, because we're sparring, we're having fun, we're playing tag. But still, you're playing tag with a weapon that's basically mostly danger to everyone.
Yes.
So including I would yourself. And you know, Eric, bless Eric. We love Eric. OG Eric. OG Smath Eric. Absolutely hates the nunchucks. Like, he thinks it is like the most pointless weapon ever, at least as of the last time we spoke about it together. And I understand mostly why he says that, because honestly, it really is like, it's such a stupid weapon as far as being just as dangerous to the user as it is to the opponent. But
yes,
if you can make it so that it's more dangerous to the opponent than it is to the user. In other words, you're that good with it that it's more dangerous to the person you're swinging it at. That is what a lightsaber is. That's what a lightsaber is. Mm-hmm. Finn would not have gotten cut in his shoulder if he had understood how that cross guard and how his... Right, but, you know, Jedi hadn't existed for 40 years or whatever, so what was he just supposed to know?
And it was first order, so there's a whole thing there.
Well, plus it's, you know, it's supposed to be entertaining. It is a movie.
Yeah. Yes.
I think if even if you hate, like, I honestly don't love nunchucks that much, but it's the weapon I'm supposed to know next, and it does have moments where it's useful to lightsaber practice, which ultimately is the weapon I love the most. So by learning these traditional nunchuck forms, as well as like kind of the flashy, just swinging nunchucks to swing them stuff, you're learning a lot about how the lightsaber works. Yes, impractical. Yes, is it much easier to just like learn other weapons as a form of either self defense or, you know, calisthenics? Yeah, sure. Yeah,
probably.
Especially like rope dart or freaking meteor hammer. Like, if you want CTE from your own hand, I mean, that's the way to get it. But
absolutely,
I do think there's a lot to be gained from practicing a weapon that's harmful to the user as well as the opponent, and then turning it into being more harmful to the opponent than it is to the user. And lightsaber is such a fun, safe way to do that, because in reality, we're pretending it's an energy blade, but it's just freaking plastic. So it's great.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, Alan, I don't know about you, man. I got time, but let's talk a little bit about just really quickly. Let's talk about your own lightsaber training, kind of like what you've had more experience actually like fighting people recently than I have with lightsabers.
Sure.
So what's kind of your thoughts on how that's been going? Like we talk a lot about the forms. That's kind of becoming the minority of the way people practice sabers right now. So what would you say is, okay, this is a good way to lens it. If I was a new person kind of jumping into this whole thing for the first time, what would be some good cheat codes to get myself feeling comfortable holding a saber in my hands in the current climate of lightsaber combat? Like, if I wanted to come, let's say if I was in the Phoenix area, I've practiced some martial arts maybe, or I'm a bit of a Star Wars nerd and I'd like to get into this. Sure. What are some good things, some good ways to kind of get my feet wet?
So, first of all, come find me if you're in the Phoenix area.
Oh yeah. If you're in the Phoenix area, definitely come find him.
super I'm super friendly, I swear. Secondly is you have to I don't want to say take the good with the bad, but you have to not take yourself so seriously whenever you're doing any of this stuff.
Not what I was expecting you to say, but riff on that.
Because a lot of the tradition that that most people will use, for example, let's just use like kendo as an example. Like
Super rigid kendo. Sorry, Japanese people. Super rigid kendo.
there is a specific way to score kendo and a specific way to stand, a specific way to bow, a specific way to do all that stuff. All that's thrown out when you talk about lightsaber combat. It's about having fun, right? It's about taking what you know and seeing if you can test it against other things. So the first thing is understand the experience will be different. You're not, trying to be, the champion of the Tournament of Knights, right? At the Ren Faire. You're not trying to bounce somebody off of a horse. You're holding a freaking lightsaber. So, you
Automatically,
gotta
you're
have fun.
winning. You're winning.
Yeah, you gotta have fun. That's a thing. And you have to leave tradition, as far as what it is that you're expecting, because as
Ooh,
of right now,
I like the way you put that. Keep going.
there are zero, count them, zero old masters of lightsaber combat,
Yeah,
right? And
that exists outside the
yeah,
pages of a Del Rey publishing
right.
book.
So we're not talking about, fictional characters, but there are a
Yes.
lot of people in the past 20 years that have devoted themselves to martial arts and have actually written books and written stuff about
Started
doing
podcasts and
polycarbonate.
started organizations.
But they're all about swinging polycarbonate blades, right? So that's the first step. The second step is to see what is it that you like about it. Can you define what it is you like about it? Because that will tell you what you're actually trying to find, what kind of organization you're lo actually looking for, and
Yes.
actually see if it's something you want to keep doing. Because there is a bunch of organizations out there that are there just for choreography, which is great. And there are some organizations out there that are just for cosplay, which is great. And
Sure.
there are some organizations that are out there just to try to brain each other, which not so great, but they still exist.
They still exist, and
So,
that might be your style.
and if that's your style, okay, great. I mean, we try our best in, let's say, martial arts to keep everybody, hopefully when they leave practice, they have the same amount of brain cells, or hopefully more, than they did when they got there.
Yeah, that's
But
really
of
that
course.
safety boils down like that simply. It really does boil down that simply. Like you just wanna leave as smart as you came.
But hopefully smarter, yeah.
Or
But
hey,
yeah.
what a novel concept.
Yeah. But that's where I'm going with this is if you are looking for an organization, because I mean you can swing your sword all day long and it won't amount to a whole heck of a lot until it's tested either in combat or in judgment. So if you're actually willing to take the step to go forward and go, you know what, I'd like to see what the rest of the community has for me, and kind of venture out beyond your own personal bubble, then you will see that there are a ton of people willing to help, a ton of people willing to test your mettle, test your knowledge and all that stuff. Hopefully not with a not with the manners of a troll, but with the manners of somebody that understands that you're also on, you know, a path, just like they are, just like they were, maybe. And again, remember, there are no old masters. There are only people that are doing their best, and some of them just have been doing it longer than you have. Mm. So, you know, take everything with a grain of salt, and it might not be the flavor that you're looking for.
You know, it just depends. Remember, you said earlier, like it's okay to suck, or
mm-hmm.
we said it a couple of different ways. Another way mm-hmm. I like to think of it is, it's okay to be a beginner, and mm-hmm. I feel like the Absolutely. More adult you are, I don't want to say the older you are, I want to say the more adult you are.
Mature, yes.
Yeah, like the more you feel it's less okay, that was confusing,
mm-hmm.
to be a beginner.
Yes. Yes.
I found...
The more you strive to be a beginner, the easier it is to learn.
That's yeah. I taught... especially at the old dojo. Now I'm teaching mostly kids, but at the old dojo, I taught most of the adult classes, and that was everybody from age 12 and up. But I had people in their 60s, in their 70s, in their 40s, in their 20s, and teenagers as well, and just like the older... Or the more adult they got, it was so much harder for them to admit to being a beginner. You are. It's not like if you're wearing a purple belt and the person next to you is wearing a brown belt, it's very simple to see who's the beginner by comparison. But just letting yourself be is totally different, especially if you like in your day job, you're something like a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you're not a doctor of martial arts. It's okay to not be. It's okay to know how to take somebody's heart apart during your day job, but not know how to take them apart in the ring later that night. It's okay. Because it's you will learn.
Funny that you say that.
You will learn.
Because most of the people in my advanced kung fu class are doctors.
Well, you know, I feel like honestly, doctors are the ones who do like understand this more often. I've had a number of mm-hmm. students who are doctors, and mm-hmm. most of those people actually get to the more advanced belt ranks because they understand the value of learning more. Like, how many times have you gone to the doctor's office and that MFer goes to his office and Googles how to fix you?
That's fine.
Doctors listening, that's not a knock on you. That's what you should do. That's mm-hmm. Accept that you're a beginner in the moment. Like, that's what you should do. And honestly, though it's funny and I might chuckle about it, like if I was that patient, I'd be totally cool with you trying to figure out a better way to fix me. You know, trying to understand what was wrong with me better. So, yeah, this is a funny little tangent. Like, the more adult you are, the more you know, accepting mm-hmm. that there's more to learn or accepting that you don't know more. My mom had this funny saying, and she would just say it to me to, like, keep my ego in check. But she would, especially with music, because I would get a little bit of a big head. I wouldn't practice as much. I would just have natural or whatever. And she'd be like, listen, son, the more you know, the more you don't know. And... Right. That's a very valuable attitude to take into various situations, especially situations where you could get hurt, like martial arts. 'Cause you take things cautiously, but also you start to find these openings. You start to find these ways to figure how to do whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing. Like, if you're striking, you figure out how to strike better. If you're grappling, you figure out how to grab. If it's a mental exercise, you figure out how to get over whatever hurdles are keeping you from getting better. So, great, great episode. Great tangents tonight. I think we can kind of wrap it up with this. I think we always say, and I'm going to say it right now, if you haven't been involved in martial arts yet, hopefully this has inspired you to at least go over to figure out what martial arts are available in your area and maybe go tickle around with it. If you love lightsabers, the very least you can do is go pick up a broomstick and try some stuff out. Yeah. Wushu Nationals, for my martial arts friends listening, go check out a traditional martial arts tournament, and if you're able to make it to those specific to the Wushu Nationals in Phoenix, go do it. SaberMartialArts.life, haven't updated in a while, nothing to update. It's all good stuff on there. Go check it out. The other thing I would say is, and this is a personal thing, as well as for people listening, find something to drive you, whether it's with lightsabers or, you know, schoolwork or actual work or, you know, family life, just raising kids. I raise three kids all day, every day. I know what it's like to grind. Find something to drive you. And just recently, I would say one of the valuable things I've started doing is let yourself have fun with the things that are fun to you. Like, just because you have 3, 4, 5 kids, 2 jobs, doesn't mean you can't still enjoy something. Can't still have something you're passionate about besides the next paycheck, besides your kids making it to school on time the next day. There's got to be something you're passionate about. Find it for 15, 20 minutes a day. 15 to 20 minutes a day, I promise you will be so much happier. And if it's martial arts, make it a 1-hour class every week. A 1-hour class 2 times a week. Oh my gosh. Your life, trust me, you just breathe much easier every day. Okay? Alan, do you have anything to add to that?
I'm going to leave you with 2 quotes. One, by Benjamin Franklin. Tell me and I forget. Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn. So get involved so you can learn. And hopefully you know enough to be able to teach others and to involve them so that they can learn.
And so powerful.
And the last one is from Jedi Master Mace Windu. This party's over.
So perfect. I love it. Okay. We're going to try to do these at least every 2 weeks, if not every week. Some of them might be real short. Some of them might be longer. And some of them might be video. Some of them might be all audio. We'll see what happens. But this has been a pleasure. Alan, if I can leave you with our classic sign-off, bring your own saber.
Bring your own saber.